Well, as you're probably already aware by some of the references I've made this morning, or if you've looked in the bulletin, you'll see that the title of the message is Live! With an exclamation point. And sometimes, though, in order to understand the good, we need to look at the other side of it. And so as we consider life and what it means to live, it's also necessary to understand what it means to not live. What is death? When God made Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden, and there was only one rule. And if they kept that one rule, they would remain in perfection. Now, one rule is don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And so the non-believer looks at that story and they read a little bit farther and they say, but they didn't die, God's a liar. Because they only understand death as the way we define it most often, physical death, the separation of soul and body. The life that is the person leaves the body, the physical being, and that's death. But that's only a very shallow understanding of death. The death that happened on the day that Adam and Eve sinned was the separation of the soul, the human being, from God. You see, evil cannot be part of perfection. And God had created a universe that was perfect. There was not a single flaw in it. It was the creation of a perfect being, God. And the pinnacle of His creation was humankind. And we were made in His image. That is, we were created perfect, connected with God. You read a little further in the story and you see God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. But after they sinned, where were they? Separated from God. Evidenced in the physical being by hiding from God. But you see, the reality was their being, their very life, their soul, could no longer be part of the perfection of God because it was no longer perfect. And they died. They became separated from God. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6 says it this way. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. You see, that's what death is. Separation of soul from God. Now, the interesting thing about understanding that is that then we understand that physical death doesn't mean that the soul is separated from God. And so that soul that has been reunited with God goes through physical death without any change. That soul remains reunited with God and will spend eternity with God, connected to that perfection that God is. Because remember, when God says, when you come to Me and I adopt you as one of My own, I will live in you. That's connection. That's not separation from God. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, all right, now we've got to go with a plan to reconnect, to make them alive again. And so the definition that God uses for alive is connected with God. For everything that was created, 1 Timothy 4:4, by God, is good. And if you're not connected to God, no matter how you define it as human beings, it's not good. Throughout the Old Testament, and even into our present world, it's not hard to see the evidence of this separation from God. Every day we see violence, abuse, greed, selfishness. That can't be the will of a perfect God for the people that he wants to make part of himself. That ugliness, that imperfection can't be part of God. For many, this existence, perhaps I should say for most, is living death. We're living, by human definition, in this world. But we are dead. We are not connected to the goodness, the perfection of God. And some people really understand how evil this world is, how hopeless it is to be living dead. And we know of those that would think about and even commit suicide, because they think that somehow I can get separated from this evil, this death that I'm walking in, if I were to separate my soul from my body. And so they seek death to this by creating death, physical death. And the result is continued death, separation from God. Even the language that flows out of our mouths is evidence of the pervasiveness of evil. Matthew 15, verses 18 to 20. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This defiles a person. For out of the heart come the evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. This is Jesus speaking, and he continues in Luke's rendition, chapter 6, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, let me give you an example. Last night, I was down here by the fire station, and I heard all kinds of sirens. And of course, I looked around, and most of the community was gathered there. And I heard people yelling and shouting and carrying on, because that's what was in them. And it was coming out. And they were shouting and they were praising the guys that played the ball games. And just shouting for joy and carrying on. You see, what's in you comes out, right? Go to a funeral and see the people that are filled with sorrow. And hear the words that come out of their mouths. They're filled with sorrow. And yet some dig down and they find joy in the memories. And it's our custom that we give people the opportunity to stand up at the wake and tell the stories. And so out of the heart comes what's in there. And so, what's in your heart? And when you're angry and your mouth falls open, what falls out? What's in there? And that doesn't always sound good, does it? Because what's in there is what's going to come out. If you don't want something bad falling out of your mouth, don't let it be in there. You say, well, it's already there. Well, yeah, it is. For two reasons. Number one, because you let it in the first place. And when you let it in, you fostered it. and it became part of your life. You allowed it to stay there. But if you've been fighting to get rid of it, the second reason is that it falls out is because we still haven't gotten rid of it. And we can't, in our own power, get rid of all the evil within us. You see, we can't make ourselves die to evil. We can cut our wrists and slash our throat and whatever. That death will not separate us from the evil that is within us. Because we need to connect to the perfection that is God. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's that word, life. Life, the connection to God. And then he explains, no one comes to the Father except by me. You see, no one connects to God Almighty except through Jesus. That connection, that's life. And so that separation from our current existence, a different kind of death, to receive that new life is not a separation of soul and body, but a separation of soul and sin. Redemption. Connection to God through Jesus. You see, and that becomes life. I'd like to read quite a bit of scripture now. We're going to start with Colossians 3, the first 25 verses. If you want to follow along, it's page 1167 in the Pew Bibles. And the title that the editors have added to this section is this, Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Colossians 3, starting at the first verse. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, that is, connected with Jesus. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So the died there means you're separated from the evil of the world. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, and that means the separation, separate yourself from whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then he describes some of these. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of these things. Things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. That means in perfection, connection to the perfection of God. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now notice this next section, all of the descriptions of connection, okay? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Put on, you know, connect with love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. The message of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And what, if it's in your heart, what's going to come out, right? The gratitude. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then Paul gets very personal. This is how we humans are to live our lives connected to a perfect God. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, and the original language there isn't just fathers, it could be interpreted parents as well. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, and again the original language isn't just bondage, but could be employees. Obey your earthly masters, or your employers, in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Then I'm going to skip over to 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at the third verse. And the editors here have entitled this part, Living to Please God. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified means made holy. It's a process. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we have told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, there's no doubt that this is a challenge. Most of our community, perhaps most of our country, glorifies all the things that Paul warns about here. I mean, look at the movies that we watch. Look at our commercials. Look at all the things that are important in our lives. And most of them go back in ways that God would not approve. And in our lifetimes, we've seen things go downhill. So, if we are to truly live, to connect with perfect God, we must separate ourselves from all that is not acceptable to God. We must die to this life, this kind of life, be separated from it. So, how do we understand that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, starting at the 16th verse. It's page 1145 if you want to follow along. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God. It doesn't come out of us. We need the power of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling or putting back together the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the reconnection. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, the church, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled or reconnected to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, made perfect again. There's that reconnection. The opposite of separation. The opposite of death. Life. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.